This morning's scripture reading is taken from the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, verses 7 and 17. That's Hebrews 13, verses 7 and 17. Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable to you.
It is indeed a pleasure to welcome you here this morning. I was sorry to learn last week that Brother Jeff is ill, and I hope and pray that he will soon be on his feet and about his work again. Sickness seems to be with us more this year than in years before. And even the young are being stricken by it these days. I want to thank Brother Marvin for reading those two verses of Scripture from the 13th chapter of the book of Hebrews, because I want us to study together for a little while the subject of authority. We have problems in our nation today. As a matter of fact, it may be all over the world. I don't know. I haven't been all over the world. But we have problems in our nation today with authority. Many, many people do not even understand the concept of it. From the time we are small children, many people do what they want to do when they want to do it in the way they want to do it. And no one seeks to give them guidance in ways to do it better or not to do it at all because of the nature of it. But authority is something that the Bible speaks a great deal about. Even Jesus spoke of it after his resurrection when in Matthew 28:18 he said, "All authority, both in heaven and on earth, has been given to me." And so that's a very broad statement, and it shows that he is the one not only to whom I owe allegiance, but to whom I must go when I seek authority. The 13th chapter of the letter to the Hebrews, or the treatise to the Hebrews, is a very interesting chapter in many, many ways. It is a chapter that's filled with a lot of short admonitions. We are given warning several times in this 13th chapter of Hebrews regarding the kind of lives that we are to live. As a matter of fact, the 13th chapter of the book of Hebrews is so much like the last chapters of other letters, the other letters being written by the Apostle Paul, that it gives me tendency to believe that he is the author of this one also. And if he is not, then perhaps someone is who worked with him at a great extent. I really want to reverse the two verses that were read this morning, because that's the simplest way for me to bring the lesson that I want you to hear and understand. The writer of this letter, whomever he may have been, was inspired by God. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete or perfect, thoroughly furnished to every good work, the Apostle Paul declared to Timothy. And so in this passage of Scripture, beginning in verse 17, he gives a very straight command: obey those who rule over you and be submissive. He goes on to say that they watch for your souls. They're concerned for your souls. They want your souls to go in the right path. They want you to live the right kind of life. They want your life to be in harmony with the teaching of the apostles of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the teachings of the New Testament particularly, if you please. He goes on to say, as those who must give an account, even those who have authority and under whose authority we serve God, must also submit to authority and give an account for the way they have conducted themselves while they have lived upon this earth. He goes on to say, let them do it with joy, that is, give an account with joy or happiness, and not with grief, for or because that would be unprofitable for you. If those who must give an account, in the case of the church, the leaders, the elders, must do so in such a way as to be say something unprofitable about us, then the grief will be ours to suffer. But let's look at the word obey. What does it mean? Does it mean that we do what our elders ask us to do when we agree with what they ask us to do? What does it mean to obey? Well, the word that's used here in the book of Hebrews is exactly the same word that's used in the book of Ephesians when the Apostle Paul said, children, obey your parents in the Lord. And we are to submit to the teaching and the guidance, loving guidance, of our parents. And those of us who do that do not have any trouble understanding the concept of authority. He says that we are to obey those who rule over you and be submissive. Submissive to whom? Those who rule over you. If you get into a word study, you find out that the expression in the English Bible, those who rule over you, can also be translated, obey your leaders. Obey those who are attempting to lead you from this earth to the celestial home of the soul. And if you don't, then you may very well not be in the celestial home of the soul. Christians, of course, ought to find great pleasure in obeying those who rule over us as long as they do not violate the Apostle Peter's principle of lordship over the heritage. We ought to find ourselves happy to cooperate with, under the leadership of, our elders anytime, day or night. One of the things that I have attempted through the years has been to cooperate with those who rule over me. First of all, unless they ask me to sin, I don't have a right not to. Do you? Now, if they say, preacher, here's what we want you to do. Just before you go into Mercantile Bank and Trust Company, you pull a mask down over your face and put something in your pocket that looks like the barrel of a gun because the church needs some money. I would have to reply, based on the moral teachings of the New Testament, you've got to find your money another way. I won't do that. That is robbery. That is stealing. Now, I realize that's an extreme example, but sometimes we catch on to extreme examples more carefully or more quickly than we would those that are subtle. And so we are to obey those who have rule over us. If they have rule over us, and they say on a certain date, from this date to this date, we're going to have a gospel meeting, for example, or a vacation Bible school, such as was held here last week. And if we are physically able to do so, we must make every attempt possible to be there on that occasion. Why? Because the Bible says you have to go to every vacation Bible school? No, the Bible never mentions a vacation Bible school. But the Bible does say, obey those who are your leaders. And if the leaders set a day and time or a week and time when we are to do a certain thing, then we are to try our very best to do it. There may be circumstances that are extenuating so that we can't, such as poor health, for example, or the poor health of someone we love. But we ought to obey them in as much as is humanly possible. There's two or three reasons for that. First of all, if they're the kind of leaders that they ought to be, they're not going to ask us to do anything that's wrong, that's harmful to ourselves, to the community, to the church that we serve. They're not going to do that. They're going to know their Bibles well enough to know what kind of a life Christians are to live while we are upon this earth in this human form that we call a body. And so if we obey our leaders, and if we are submissive to them, then we will not in any circumstance rebel against them. It's not my responsibility as a preacher to oversee the plans of the elders for any program that may be coming up in this church. It is not my responsibility, unless there is some sin connected with it, for me to rebuke them for such and such a plan and say, here, I have a better one, use this. That's not my responsibility. My responsibility is found in the language of the great apostle Paul when he said, I charge you before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, preach the word. Lord Jesus Christ at his appearing in kingdom, preach the word. That's my job. And incidentally, I've been doing it a long time, almost 62 years, and I have never yet had an elder come to me and ask me to preach something that isn't in Scripture or to preach something contrary to Scripture. Maybe they knew that I would say no, even if they wanted it, but it is my deep belief that they never wanted anything like that. And so, we can trust them. We can trust them to lead our souls from this earthly abode to a heavenly one. Those men are under the authority of Jesus Christ and his apostles, as that authority is written in this book that we call the New Testament, and they must give account for the way we have done. Now, if they have to stand before the Lord, give an account saying, oh, he's been rebellious. We have had to put pressure on him all the time to get him to do what we want him to do, or whatever the situation may be. They may speak of a lady in the church who assumes more authority than God gave her and say, well, you know, it's been a constant battle with her now for 20 years. Sometimes ladies in the church feel like one that I knew in the very first congregation that I ever preached for. The men in a business meeting, we didn't have elders, the men in a business meeting would occasionally refer to her as a she elder. And one night in a business meeting, I had wondered about that for a good while, probably 3 or 4 months. One night in a business meeting, I said, what are you talking about? What do you mean a she elder? And one of the men spoke up and said, well, she's a very wealthy lady, and she tries to run the church by threatening to withdraw her financial support to it. And I said, well, you're a very wealthy man. You could just take up where she leaves off, couldn't you? He said, yes, I could. And so a few days later, I was visiting her. She was suffering at the time, having broken a hip, and she was confined to a wheelchair in her home, and I was visiting her. And I said to her, sister, I hear people in the church from time to time calling you a she elder. Are you a she elder? She said, yes, I am. And I said, is that scriptural? She said, no. And just as soon as I find a man over there that's smart enough to run that church, I'll give the job up. Well, she obviously didn't have too high an idea of the leadership of the church, did she? But you see, we can't step in and violate the scriptures simply because we don't like something that may be going on, unless it's sinful and unless we can read it from the Bible. I worked for a congregation one time that once a month I met with the elders, And the elders would say, well, we want you to do this, and we want you to do this, and they want you to do this. And nothing was ever unreasonable about any of them or unscriptural. But when I went back the next month, I would tell them, you asked me to do so and so, I did that. You asked me to do such and such, I did that. You asked me to do such, and I did that. And generally, they would say, thank you. We appreciate your cooperation. Now, this month, we want you to... And it went on and on and on like that all the time. I never minded. Because I thought they were looking out for the church. They knew what the church needed. I was one of the servants of the church. And therefore, I should do what they asked me to do. That's obedience. And not fussing about it is submissiveness. And so the apostle says, obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch for your souls. Your soul may get into deep trouble if you do not obey your leaders, your spiritual leaders, in the kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But now let's drop back for a few moments to verse 7. In verse 7, he said, remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. That verse has an awful lot in it, friends. There's a great deal to be discussed. And so let's begin with the word remember. Now, the word is not used here to recall to memory something that you knew in the past and have forgotten. But it means be mindful of. Be mindful of your leaders, those who rule over you. Give them your attention. Pay attention to what they're saying, what they're asking. Be remembering of them at all times. He said, those who rule over you have spoken the word of God to you. In ancient times, elders in the Lord's church did more preaching than a paid evangelist. Often they were supported by the church, and that was fine. But evangelism is also found, or evangelists are also found, in the New Testament. And so he says here, they have spoken the word of God to you, and the implication is you're a Christian today because of what they spoke to you. You know, we ought to have a special place in our hearts for those who brought us to Christ. Should we not? It is not particularly true with me. I was not converted by an elder in the church, but I was converted by a preacher who made it sure that I studied and understood these two verses of Scripture and showed the proper respect at all times to the elders. And I tried to do that. Now, I'm sure I've failed, but I've tried to do that. He says in this passage of Scripture, keep in mind those who rule over you, who have spoken to you the word of God, who have given you the very thing that will save your soul from eternal condemnation. Remember them. Be mindful of them. Listen to them. Pay attention to them. And we ought always to do that. Not only that, but he said, you follow their faith. You do what they do in matters of faith, as long as they're doing that which is right, whose faith follow. One person can't know everything, not even about the Bible. Several heads are always better than one when those heads are filled with the Bible. A person might think he wants to do something, or he might even start to do it. And someone will come up and say, before you do that, have you read such and such a passage? And you read that passage, and if it's contrary to what you are planning to do, you stop right there. Brother Marshall Keeble used to use a grand example of repentance. He would say, if you're going down the country road in your old Model A. Now, most of you don't know what a Model A is, but some of us do, don't we? If you're going down a country road in your old Model A, and you figure out that you're going the wrong way, you need to repent. That means you put her in reverse, you turn her around and go back the way from which you came. Well, if we start to do something and it is called to our attention, or even if we find it on our own, that what we're starting to do is not in harmony with the will of God, we put her in reverse, turn her around, and go back the way we came. We do not persist in that. You know, there are those who have the idea that they have the right to criticize and police the brotherhood. A man called me the other night and had me on the phone for an hour and a half from Wilderness, New York. I don't know where Wilderness, New York is, except that it's somewhere north of Syracuse. And that doesn't help me much because I haven't looked at a map of New York in a long time and I don't know where Syracuse is right offhand. But he called me and he wanted to know, did I work at the West Virginia School of Preaching? And I said, well, yes, I guess I do. I guess we could say that. I said, some people would call it work. I call it fun. But yes, I'm attached to the West Virginia School of Preaching. Well, he said, I was looking at your website a while ago, and I see that you're going to have a lectureship in October. And I said, well, God willing, we will have, yes. And he said, well, such and such a person, and I've even forgotten now who he said, will be preaching the last time in the lectureship. And he's going to preach error if he's going to preach what I think he's going to preach. And I said, well, really, there's no way for me to know what he's going to preach. I haven't read his lecture and I haven't talked to him about it. He's a friend, but I don't see him all that often anymore since he's moved off into the distance from where I am. And so I don't know exactly what he's preaching. He said he's going to preach that Peter needed to repent for denying Jesus. I said, sounds right to me. What's your problem? And he said, Peter was not asked to repent for denying Christ. And I said, brother, is denying Christ a sin? Yes. And I said, then Peter should have repented. He did. He went out and wept bitterly, and that was his repentance. And when Jesus spoke to him in John chapter 21, and he said, Peter, lovest thou me? Peter said, yes, Lord, I love you. Peter, lovest thou me? Yes, Lord, I love you. Peter, lovest thou me? Yes, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. He said he was not in those three questions asking him to repent. And I said, what was he asking him to do? Well, he said that would be a discussion too long to keep you on the telephone. And I said, well, you don't have to worry about that too much. I'm sitting with the telephone in my easy chair so I can stand to be on the phone. Why do you think Peter did not have to repent of denying Christ? And he said, I don't think he didn't. I think he already did. And the way you people see it, isn't it strange that we often become people and you people? The way you people see it, Peter was asked to repent twice. And I said, but how do you know that he repented when he wept bitterly? You can weep bitterly and not repent. I said, Jesus had a great work for Peter to do. He was helping Peter to make sure that he knew and understood what he was to do. And if it included repentance, it included repentance. And he said, well, I'd like to talk to someone else about this. So I did a terrible thing, Seth. I sicked him on Andy. Andy called me last Wednesday afternoon, late in the afternoon. He said, well, the guy called me and he had me on the phone 2 hours. And he said, I finally told him, I've given you all the time I should. I can't talk to you any longer. Goodbye. Andy also believed that Jesus was calling upon Peter so that he would repent and be strengthened to to carry out the work that he gave him in those three statements. Look after my sheep, look after my sheep, look after my lambs. And that's what Peter needed to do. But he went on to say, before the conversation ended, if you people are going to persist in that error, then I'm going to have to mark you. I said, feel free, brother, feel free. And anytime you want to come here, you'll be treated kindly and gently and in a Christian manner. I said, matter of fact, I think what you ought to do before you mark anybody is to come to our lectureship this year and listen to what the man has to say. And he hesitated a while and he said, you know, I might just do that. Now, don't hold your breath, friends, but I hope he does. I hope he does. I even hope he gets after some of you elders about allowing a preacher to preach what he don't believe, because you're going to be prepared to lead the man in the right way. Whether he'll walk in it or not is up to him. Is that not the case? Sure, it's the case. And so he says, remember those who have spoken the word of the Lord. They didn't speak their hobbies. They didn't speak their opinions. They spoke the word of God. The word of God. Do you know what was said earlier in the book of Hebrews about the word of God? That it is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. That's the reason why we preach the word of the Lord. That's the reason why our elders teach the word of the Lord here on Lord's Day morning. And so he says, remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow. You walk as they're walking. You step in their steps. You do what they're doing when they are doing that which is right, considering the outcome of their conduct. What's the outcome of the conduct of leaders in the church? Well, it depends on how they do it and what they do. But if they follow the teachings of the Word of God and gently lead and guide others to do the same, the outcome of their conduct is salvation. Can't be anything else. And so what this writer is telling us here, he is telling us that we are to consider where their souls will be in eternity and where ours will be. And if their souls are going to be in eternity because they are walking and working and teaching the Word of God, then we should follow their faith so that we'll be in the same place. We don't want to be like the preacher who got up one morning and he opened the paper and there was his obituary. And it was his, not someone else's. And it upset him. And he called one of the elders who was on the job and he said, did you see my obituary in the paper this morning? The elder said, yes, where are you calling from? We don't want to have to ask that question of our elders. We find great pleasure in obeying them, listening to them teach us the word of God, following their faith, considering the outcome of their journey upon this earth. So let's remember and let's obey. Let's be kind to, let's pray for our leaders, those who have the rule over us. They deserve it. And if we do that, we'll make them better people and we'll be better people ourselves. And one day, we will approach the city where the gates swing outward never and stand in the presence of the very one who ultimately ordained them elders. Are you Christian? Are you a faithful Christian? If you're not a Christian, will you not come believing in Jesus Christ today, repenting of all sins, ready to confess that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and to be baptized for the remission of all sins. The blood of Jesus will wash your sin away. We learned that from the early chapters of the book of Revelation. And if upon arising from the waters of baptism, we never take another step in this life, our souls are safe in the arms of Jesus. Don't you want your soul to be safe in the arms of Jesus? Then come, following this simple biblical formula that I have just given you, and I can quote the passages of Scripture that teach it. Perhaps not perfectly anymore, but I can do it. If you've done that one time or another, and you've been rebellious, maybe against the elders or against the Word of God or against God Himself, won't you repent of that and come back saying, I'm sorry, and I want to follow Jesus again? You know what? He awaits you with open arms and will embrace you into His fold. If you'll do that, please do it now as we stand and sing the invitation song.